This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Church, Shane Cougar, Anna Kasparia. This is a big show today. We got bigly news. Donald Trump tests positively for coronavirus. Well, you'll see. You'll see in a couple of minutes, okay?
He said it. He said it.
He said it. I didn't say it. He said it. I just got done interviewing Bernie Sanders. Who does he want for VP of Biden? Joe Ron. Okay, the interviews are now before the main show. So they're, you know, the main show, Young Turks, is at 6 o'clock, right? Well, the conversation is part of the Young Turks, and it actually starts at 5:30 p.m. Eastern every day. So the interviews are first now. So tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, Senator Bernard Sanders. Dramatic interview. Okay. Now, speaking of who progressives want for VP, and speaking of dramatic, later in this program, Casper and I will debate Elizabeth Warren's actions. Medicare for all? What has she said? It needs to be debated. Correct or incorrect strategy? All right. And one more thing about later today. Hey, we're on Twitch. All right. Twitch. I think it's twitch.tv/TYT, actually. Yeah, so ignore the graphic. Twitch.tv/TYT. So we already got the Young Turks on there, the conversation, happy half hour, staying home with Josh Fox, old school. It's already on Twitch, but now new exclusive programming. I'm ready to do it right now. It's starting tonight. So tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern at twitch.tv/TYT. A new show on the TYT network called Between Me and Uyghur. So I am interviewing folks about what they're doing at home during the times of quarantine. It's super informal, super fun. Tonight we start with Mark Thompson, who we have not heard from in a while. Let's see if first his house almost burned down. Now coronavirus. Does his house even still exist? And then next week is Lance Reddick, a brilliant actor from Bosch, The Wire, John Wick, etc. The week after that, John Sally, and many more stars to come. Let's see what they're doing at home. So don't miss it tonight. It starts tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern on Twitch. All right, Anna, major show, massive, bigly show. Let's do it.
All right. Well, let's get started with an update on Donald Trump. Oftentimes when we talk about Donald Trump on this show, I think we can be a little unfair. And I thought it made a lot of sense to really hone in on just how eloquent he is as a speaker and how effective he is as a communicator. And nothing made that more clear than his statements on getting tested for coronavirus just today. Take a look.
And I tested very positively in another sense. So negative. This morning, yeah, I tested positively toward negative, right? So, no, I tested perfectly this morning. Meaning I tested negative.
Are you taking the antibody test yet?
But that's a way of saying it. Positively toward the negative.
Forty percent of the time, it works every time. Like, I've been thinking about Anchorman way too much this week, apparently. But like, look, yeah. I can't believe I'm saying this. I feel empathy for him in that video because I know what it's like to kind of get tongue-tied. You know, we do this show without a teleprompter, and every once in a while, when I'm not on my A game, I'll say something the wrong way and I'll try to save it, but it makes it worse. And so like, I give him a pass on this and it made me laugh. So I'm glad that something made me laugh.
So first of all, I really need to find out the origins of this clip. I mean, it's how do we know, right? You got to find the origins. If you don't find the origins, you don't even know if it's in the right context. Guaranteed some right-wingers are typing furiously into YouTube right now. You just said oranges instead of oranges. That's so stupid. Look into it and see who said that first. Okay, so in all seriousness, Anna, I hear you. We do a live show. We made 1,000 mistakes. I don't think we've dug that deep, but you never know. But let's keep it real, though. If Joe Biden had said that, people would be all over, including us. Okay.
Yeah.
But hold on.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I think the context is different. So I just want to say that, but keep going.
Yeah. So look, this is why you can trust us. We're totally unbiased. When Joe Biden had what we considered to be, you know, mental decline issues, we pointed it out. We pointed it out when we were guessing. We pointed it out when we were for him. And we said, look, whether you're for a candidate or not, you have to be honest about what the situation is. So, you know, we're not the kind of people who hold back our opinions, and we've been honest about Joe Biden. And by the way, we've taken tremendous flack from people who think that news shouldn't be news. News should just be propaganda, and you twist whatever the news is to fit your agenda. And they're like, how dare you not back Biden? You have to now pretend that his mental faculties are perfect. They're 100%. They're 112%, right? But Trump is worse. And we've also said that from day one. People have totally ignored. And if Biden had said this, people would be all over him. Joe Rogan would be all over him. We might be all over him. Certainly, you know, the conservative media would be all over him. Trump says it. We all laugh because we know he's an idiot, right? But it's not just an idiot. He also has mental decline issues. He can't, I mean, we talk about Joe Biden can't string a sentence together. Can Trump's, Trump has never been able to do an adult sentence to begin with, but now he's having trouble with the child sentences.
I know. I think the reason why I treat this differently, and let me also reverse what I said earlier, because it's not actually what I believe. If Biden said the exact same thing, I would not see it as that big of a deal. Because the way that I see it is sometimes when you're communicating, I think what Trump wanted to say was, I got tested today, and luckily I got positive results, right? Like he wanted to say like, it's positive news, not that I tested positively. So then he caught himself and then he was tongue tied. And that's a little different from the oranges statement where, yeah, that is definitely an example of mental decline with Trump specifically, because he didn't just make that mistake once. It wasn't just Trump misspeaking. He kept trying to correct himself and he kept saying oranges. With Joe Biden, and you know, you mentioned this a little bit, but I just really want to emphasize it. The frustration with Joe Biden is the nonstop gaslighting. Like the very publications and the very so-called journalists on Twitter right now sharing that video of Trump would never in a million years admit that Joe Biden is showing signs of mental decline. And there have been so many different examples. I mean, there was this one video, we didn't even talk about it on the show, but there was this one video when he was talking about Trump's relationship with our allies. And I think he wanted to say Trump doesn't have discourse with them, but he said Trump doesn't have intercourse with them. Like these are, and it's not like these are rare instances. They happen all the time. And I just want it to be acknowledged so people stop pretending like every time someone mentions Biden's communications issues, they don't feel like they're being gaslit, like they're made out to be crazy. And that drives me crazy.
Yeah,
we all see it. We all hear it.
Okay, look, I think I've made the fun story a little too serious, but I'll end by saying this. Look, I can't stand the tribalism. And so, yeah, you're right. The mainstream media people, the establishment Democrats who are laughing their ass off at Trump today over this video would get so verklempt if you had the same exact situation with Biden. On the other hand, how about Republicans and conservatives? They'll make fun of Joe Biden getting a word or two wrong. And then when Trump is like, me, I am positively negative, but I juggle oranges. They're like, genius, wonderful. I don't see what the problem is. He speaks the most positively, trending towards negative, meaning positive. He's the best orange I've ever seen. And they'll mean it. They'll think that guy is smart, let alone his obvious massive mental decline issues. As a person who has pointed out both of them, let me just tell you, my opinion is Trump is significantly worse. And you know why, by the way? I don't know the rate of deterioration within their minds. Of course, that's a medical issue, and I have no idea. But if Biden lost 2 brain cells, he might be down to 98. If Trump loses 2 brain cells, he's down to 1.
Okay, it's a good place to end it. Let's move on to serious news, because there is a lot of it today. So one of the big news stories lately has been the Trump administration's decision to fire 4 inspectors general in the spring alone. And one of those individuals is Steve Linnick, who was the inspector general for the State Department. Now, the person who recommended the firing of Linnick was Mike Pompeo. And we're learning more and more about what type of investigation Steve Linnick had been conducting into Pompeo's actions. Pompeo had fast-tracked an arms sale to Middle Eastern countries and Saudi Arabia specifically, and he did so in a way that would bypass congressional approval. And there is some indication that he potentially broke the law in doing this. What we're learning today through Politico's reporting is that Pompeo was actually warned by various government agencies against doing this, and he totally disregarded their recommendations. So Pompeo disregarded the advice of high-level officials at the State Department, Pentagon, and within the intelligence community in invoking an emergency waiver last year to circumvent congressional review of billions of dollars in arms sales to the U.S. allies in the Persian Gulf region. In justifying the move to Congress, Pompeo, as Pompeo does, wrote that Iranian aggression and increasing regional volatility necessitated an urgent delivery of certain weapons to U.S. partners in the Middle East. But during meetings last spring of the National Security Council at several levels, high-level career and political officials from the Pentagon, State Department, and intelligence community agreed that there had been no change in Tehran's behavior to justify invoking emergency authorities and advised against doing so. So again, Pompeo did not care. He completely disregarded the recommendations of officials in his own department, and went ahead and did what's referred to as an emergency declaration to bypass Congress and basically send these weapons to Saudi Arabia. Now, I think part of the reason why this is getting so much attention is because there was really a bipartisan effort in Congress to prevent arms sales to Saudi Arabia. One of the more vocal senators who is against selling arms to Saudi Arabia is actually Senator Lindsey Graham, who's a well-known, you know, war hawk. So we'll see how this all plays out, but it's just another example of this ongoing pattern within the Trump administration where they do the wrong thing, they get investigated for it, and the person doing the investigation immediately gets fired.
So this is serious on two fronts. Number one, Congress does not authorize something and the executive branch does it anyway, that is a massive issue for our constitutional form of government. And so the way that this is supposed to work is, all right, the administration says we'd like to do $8 billion in arms sales to Saudi Arabia and UAE, etc. And then Congress, because of a law that was passed, needed 30 days to approve or not approve of it. And the only way to get past this is to declare an emergency. But it's now absolutely clear that his own State Department and the Pentagon, and by the way, the Pentagon, who wanted to sell the weapons to Saudi Arabia, both came in and said there is no such emergency. So the only reason to declare an emergency that clearly did not exist was to circumvent Congress. Well, that's a really serious legal and constitutional issue. And so I think Pompeo, under any normal circumstances, would be in massive trouble. But then that leads to serious problem number two. There's no rule of law anymore. So Trump and his team can fire anyone. The inspector general is supposed to be the cop on the beat to make sure that department is doing the right thing, all the way up to the leadership of that department. But when the leader of the department fires the cop who's supposed to be overlooking it, his actions, well, then there's no law left anymore. So and this is where Pompeo was so disingenuous. He said, well, I didn't know anything about an investigation. What do you mean you didn't know? He had you answer questions, which you refused to do in person, and then wrote out answers to. And now his news story is, well, I wrote out the questions, and I knew there was an investigation, but I didn't know if it was finished or not. So that's why I was trying to fire him before he finished. I mean, did I say that out loud? Okay, so he did not say that part, of course, but it's super obvious that he knew there was an investigation because he participated in it. And it was about him, and it was likely going to conclude that he did something deeply illegal and unconstitutional. That's why he fired the guy. But there are no checks and balances left. So now they get to do whatever they want.
So, Cenk, yesterday Pompeo had a press conference where he was asked about the firing of Linick. And two things really stood out to me. We're going to show you guys the videos, but just pay attention to his confidence and his swagger, because he did confirm that he's the one who, recommended the firing of Linick. Take a look.
It's the unilateral right to choose who he wants to be his inspector general at every agency in the federal government. They are presidentially confirmed positions, and those persons, just like all of us, serve at the pleasure of the President of the United States. In this case, I recommended to the President that Steve Linick be terminated. I frankly should have done it some time ago.
And then after that, he was asked, okay, well, you recommended it. You say that it should have happened a long time ago. What is it that he did that, made him deserve this firing, since you say that it has nothing to do with this investigation? And he, took a jab at reporters and said something about how, unlike other people, he doesn't leak personnel matters to the press. And then, Cenk, I wanted to just quickly show what he had to say about the investigation, the statement that you alluded to earlier. Take a look.
Someone was walking my dog to sell arms to my dry cleaner. I mean, it's all just crazy. It's all crazy stuff. So I didn't have access to that information, so I couldn't possibly have retaliated. It would have been impossible. There's one exception. I was asked a series of questions in writing. I responded to those questions with respect to a particular investigation that was sometime earlier this year, as best I can recall.
At this point, I don't even really know why they even bother lying. I mean, they have really shown how fragile our system of government really is, how the rule of law doesn't really apply to the Trump administration. How many inspectors general did they fire already? And there have been absolutely no consequences for it whatsoever. And Republicans, a few of them might say something, Chuck Grassley might say that he's a little disturbed by what's going on. But when push comes to shove, they don't actually do anything to hold members of the Trump administration accountable.
Yeah, 100%. And so, look, again, any rational administration, they should be talking about removing Pompeo, and if you need to, remove him from office without the president. But I don't know how in the world that you would ever do that without the Republicans participating, and they're never, ever going to do it, no matter what kind of empty talk that they have. And so, look at how disingenuous that is. And even if you're a MAGA guy, you got to realize it's disingenuous. He's like, I didn't know there was an investigation. I mean, how could I retaliate? I don't know what's in the investigation. Oh, by the way, I knew there was an investigation because I answered questions for that investigation of me. How does that make any sense? It doesn't make sense at all. So he could have said, look, I didn't know all of the investigation. I didn't know they were also looking at my dog, right? But yes, I knew they were investigating me over Saudi Arabia, and my possibly illegal actions and unconstitutional actions there. Okay, but leave my dog out of it. That would have been a fair answer. But him saying I couldn't retaliate because I didn't know what was going on, absurd. Last thing on that. Why would you fire an inspector general? All it does is it investigates wrongdoing in your department, in this case, the State Department. So did he do another investigation you were unhappy with? And why were you unhappy with it? Because if you were unhappy with him for a long time, or did you want more investigations and he didn't investigate? Oh, Josh, you can't talk about personnel matters. Yeah, of course, because it's about you, okay? There are legitimate times when you can't talk about personnel matters. But when you fire a guy and publicly say he's been doing a terrible job for a long time, you've already talked about personnel matters. You've already buried the guy's reputation. If anyone were to believe your lying ass, and of course, no rational person actually does, right? But you've already attacked him publicly. And the reason you don't want to talk about it further is because there was nothing else. You fired him because he was investigating you. And the only part I'll give him credit for is the honesty that Trump probably made him do. Like, hey, tell people it wasn't me, it was you, okay? And so he goes out there and he's like, yeah, it was me. I asked to fire him because he was looking at me.
Yeah, no, I totally believe him, though. I don't think Trump had any idea who Steve Linick was. So I think he's being honest there.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Yes, that's why I'm giving him a tiny bit of credit for that one.
Let's take a quick... Super merciful. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about how Donald Trump has thrown a member of the intelligence community under the bus, even after she went to great lengths to do intelligence briefings that were easy enough for a child to understand. That was doing him a favor, by the way. And then later on, Cenk and I will debate about Elizabeth Warren. And I know that a lot of you are here for that. So stay tuned.
Back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. As usual, I will read your comments here. Let's go to the member section first. Effectos writes in, between me and Uyghur, what is this, a 1980s sitcom? Maybe.
I like that. Maybe that's exactly what we need to get through, I don't know, the next however long we need to get through. It feels like endless.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Look, are people saying I'm today's Tony Danza? I don't know.
I don't think they are.
All right. By the way, so that's on Twitch tonight, in case you guys didn't hear it in the beginning of the show. 8 o'clock Eastern, twitch.tv/TYT. Starts tonight. Exclusive show for Twitch. And between me and Uyghur, and it'll be Mark Thompson tonight. John Sally and Lance Reddick are joining us in future episodes. Don't miss it. By the way, if you're on Twitch, or even if you're not on Twitch, go on Twitch and allocate your Amazon Prime subscription. You don't have to pay anything more, but subscribe to us on Twitch through that, and we will get credit for it. So it's a massive win-win. It doesn't cost you a thing. It takes 2 seconds to do, and it helps us a lot. So do that on Twitch if you can. All right. Then I love this member handle. Brett's my daughter's husband. Okay, writes in. What a sad joke. Both candidates speak in word salad. It hurts my brain to listen or read Trump's statements. Old Joe just needs to stay in his basement and hide, and we're screwed. So
Brett, your wife's dad is super cool. Didn't know.
anyway, so look, Biden's got a big lead right now, so I say knock on wood. Mondo Libre says, why would anybody be surprised that a former CIA director would like to make secret arms deals? Funny. I like it. Earl the Hot Dog makes a good point. Republicans sell arms to someone so they can have a reason to declare war on them later.
Yes, exactly.
Very true. I love our members. You guys make such great points. TYT.com/join. I'll read you one last one from YouTube Super Chat. We appreciate every time you use that. Anna's Margarita Salt writes in, Yeah, verbal flubs do happen. Just ask the attorney inspectors general, LOL.
Okay. All right. We got news to do, so we need to move on right now.
she or he did add, Anna, you're the best. Much love.
Hey, thank you.
Before we move on, real quick, guys, audience funding is super important to us. It's what's keeping us afloat when others are having so much trouble. We need you guys, and you guys have delivered, but we got to keep it going. I'm afraid we're not going to make our month-end goal this time around. So please, if you can, help at tyt.com/go. And let's take a look at where it is right now. It's at $138,950. If we can get to $140 by the end of today's show, maybe we can get back on track. So I love you. If you could do that, that'd be amazing. All right, Anna, let's do it.
All right. There has been a lot of different displays of desperation among the potential VP picks for Joe Biden. And one of the more recent examples has to do with Elizabeth Warren. Now, there was an interesting piece published in Politico that didn't really have any news in it. For anyone who's been following politics, following this Democratic primary, you would know that Elizabeth Warren had pivoted away from Medicare for All or a single-payer healthcare model pretty late last year. But Politico publishes this piece as if this is a new way of, you know, pivoting for Elizabeth Warren. And that's not necessarily the case. Now, during a talk with some of the students at the University of Chicago, here's what she had to say about Medicare for All and what makes more sense moving forward.
Medicare for All, do you think there'll be more of a receptivity to some sort of single payer healthcare system or some sort of hybrid but universal system?
You know, I think what there'll be a lot of receptivity. Look, I argued for Medicare for All. I think ultimately getting us to a single payer, I think it's what makes sense. But the question is, how are we going to get there in a way that brings people in and people feel comfortable with it? I think right now people want to see improvements in our healthcare system. And that means strengthening the Affordable Care Act. We should be doing that anyway. That should be easy. We should be doing it right now.
So she had wavered on Medicare for All. Again, like in...
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
November of last year, when she said that she would, if she gets elected, she would pass Medicare for All in two phases with a public option in phase one. And then toward the end of her first term, that's when she would start fighting toward a single payer healthcare system. At that point, for me at least, it became abundantly clear that she had no intention to fight for Medicare for All. But now this is being framed as, oh, Elizabeth Warren is pivoting away from Medicare for All because she wants to appeal to Biden so she can be chosen as his VP pick. So, Cenk, what do you make of this?
Go get him. Love it. I agree with her. As you can tell, Anna does not. Nope. So let me explain. Do I want to do Medicare for All more than anything? Absolutely, positively. Do I think that Elizabeth Warren wants to do Medicare for All? Yes, I do. We can disagree about that. That's okay. Do I think it's important for Elizabeth Warren to be picked as vice president? Absolutely. She is by far the most progressive candidate out there possible. Joe Biden is going to be 78 years old when he's sworn in. I don't want to jinx it if he's sworn in. There's been a lot of talk about him only serving one term. Nothing is more important than who his VP is. And I will take the second most progressive senator. And if you say no, I caught feelings. I still have those feelings. And that's going to decide that I make me choose someone less progressive than her. That's, to me, I can't countenance that. I'm practical. And then on Medicare for All, is this a way of getting onto the VP ticket? If it is, then I think it's smart politics. And I don't think it actually changes her real opinion on it.
So, look, I don't know what's in her mind or her heart. So while I'm suspicious of her statements regarding wanting Medicare for All, I don't know, and I'll admit that. But what I will say is that the biggest problem with Elizabeth Warren from the beginning, okay, and I mean even as far back as when she did the whole Native American DNA test, is that she has terrible political instincts. And this play makes it abundantly clear, or actually just reinforces that. What I think we need to have a discussion about is the decision that the Biden campaign has made moving forward. And their decision has not been to appeal to progressive voters. Their decision has been to appeal not only to corporate donors, that's been a given, okay, that's been clear, but to appeal to never Trump Republicans who obviously prefer Biden over any other Democrat who ran during the primaries. And they're going to help Biden as much as they can because they hate Trump and they want to get Trump out and they're willing to work with Biden. So I'm talking about the Bill Kristols of the world. I'm talking about Kellyanne Conway's husband, George Conway. I'm talking about David Frum. The very people who were actually pretty active during the Bush administration, very supportive of the Bush administration, but just cannot stand Donald Trump. And so if you look at how the Biden campaign is operating, they have gone to great lengths to, you know, really appeal to those people, people to the right of, centrist Democrats. And what have they done for progressive voters? The only thing that I've seen from the Biden camp and Biden supporters is nonstop vilification and antagonistic language toward Bernie supporters. And so I bring that up because when you consider the values of establishment or centrist Democrats, corporate Democrats, you need to have your principles, because if you are a progressive who's willing to waver or be malleable and you think, oh, maybe my theory of change will work. Maybe if I'm a little malleable, I'll get in there and then I can change things from the inside. It's not going to happen. She's not going to be chosen as the VP pick. Right now, Joe Biden is actually vetting Amy Klobuchar. Okay, so that's something to keep in mind. And it's because Amy Klobuchar is more appealing to the never Trumpers. She's more appealing to the people in the middle of the country who might lean conservative, but they can't stand Donald Trump. This is the political calculation that the Biden camp has made. And the fact that Elizabeth Warren hasn't realized that and is willing to waver on her principles and her beliefs, I think is incredibly sad. No. That's where I'm coming from.
So I think half of what you're saying is true, but I think the other half is really important. Did Biden go towards the mainstream and establishment during the primary? Yes. By the way, did it work? Yes. He won because of that. And so that sucks for us, and it's terrible, but it's a reality. But on the other hand, when normally you go to a general election, the Democratic candidate swings to the right. But in this case, Biden has done the opposite. Instead of going more establishment, he has swung to the left. He did a task force that has indisputably progressive people on it, not just AOC, but Stephanie Kelton, Abdul El-Sayed, and the list goes on. That is a very progressive task force. I talked to Bernie Sanders about it today. We're going to air that interview tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Eastern on tyt.com/live. Eastern. 5:30 p.m. Eastern. That's when the show starts now with interviews, okay? And I asked him about it. Now, watch the interview. He'll answer for himself. But The main takeaway that I get as a progressive and having talked to people like Bernie Sanders is, look, you do a task force, and if you don't follow their recommendations, there is significant blowback that comes along with that. And so Biden took that risk to go left. If it's a giant if he picks Elizabeth Warren, take the victory. It's the second most progressive senator in the country. So I what do you want him to do? Pick Klobuchar? That we don't want that. We want him to encourage him to take Warren. Now, look, there's so many other things I can say, but I got to say this one other thing. Now, would I change my stance on Medicare for All? Absolutely not, right? On the other hand, if you said to me, okay, will you take a deal now that now you lost the primary, the other guys won the primary, now they're offering you an olive branch and they're willing to go whatever percentage of the way there. If you believe it's real and it's not a trick, are you willing to go further, have them go further left to meet you? My answer is yes. I'll take yes for an answer. So I don't know why we're pushing Biden away when he's trying to come in this direction. So look, we have a poll, and Anna, I'm curious what you think, but I'm curious what the whole country thinks, and certainly progressives that are our audience. So it's at tyt.com/polls/veep, V-E-E-P. So now some of you guys are going to be upset at the choices, Stacey Abrams, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, and Gretchen Whitmer. And you're going to say, wait a minute, I don't like those choices. I want Nina Turner on that list. I want Bernie Sanders. I want Santa Claus. But none of those people are going to be on the list. They're not on Biden's list. This is the real list. And maybe Klobuchar, but that's about your top five. And because he's vetting Klobuchar doesn't mean he's not vetting the rest. So out of those real choices, who do you want? So be realistic. TYT.com/polls/Veep. For me, it's a no-brainer. Why would I take anyone but Warren?
So I want to make it clear that I'm not having a discussion about who I personally prefer as his VP pick. I'm having a discussion about the effectiveness of what Elizabeth Warren is doing. I don't think that Biden is going to choose her as a VP pick. I think that Biden has been friendly toward her because she wants to be the VP and has been raising money for him and has been doing everything possible to be appealing to him. And for me, that's the issue, right? Because if progressives are going to win, if there are going to be real policy accomplishments, we need to know our enemies, we need to know our friends, and we need to be principled, right? That doesn't mean that we never work with people we disagree with, but I don't. The fact that she got involved in politics because she was so disgusted with Joe Biden's bankruptcy bill, and now she's like bending to Biden's will on healthcare right now is just
because he won.
It's devastating. It's devastating.
He won. You and he's saying, "Hey, I'm thinking of coming in your direction." The correct answer is yes. Look, I'll just last thing.
You believe him, Cenk? You believe him.
No,
and I'm sorry. I think the task force will accomplish nothing. That's where I'm coming from.
No, I want to be super clear about this. I don't believe him. I believe that the proof is in the pudding, and we're going to find out soon. So if he goes towards Warren, then I will give him a lot of credit because it meant he wasn't kidding. Warren could be the next president of the United States. She's the second most progressive senator in the country. Take the victory, right? Or if he goes, oh, no, I was just playing with you guys and I was faking it so I could get more votes because you thought I considered Warren and instead I'll pick Klobuchar or Whitmer or Kamala Harris, then I'll say, OK, then it turns out it was all.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Total baloney. He wanted someone, it was, you know what it was? Malarkey. He just wanted someone who is just as establishment and just as conservative as him. Our answer will come soon. We should encourage him to go in the progressive direction instead of saying, you know what? We don't care. You're not going to get credit under any circumstance. That is very bad politics, which leads to bad policy.
Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, we have more for you, including Donald Trump blaming the intelligence community for not giving him enough information about coronavirus. We'll be right back.
All right, back in the Young Turks, lots of member comments about the Elizabeth Warren discussion, so I want to get to that right away. Aggressive Progressive says Warren's doing the dance. Her poll numbers plummeted when she backed away from Medicare for All during the campaign. Well, that's true. Jared says Elizabeth Warren is making her policies based on election research rather than on principle, and what Americans truly need is a strategy. That's also true, but you should do strategy. And if there's strategy that gets a progressive into the VP slot, I'm in favor of that strategy. Whether it's going to work is a different question. Megan E. says, Cenk is never, ever, ever going to admit that Warren gave the bird to progressives. I do not believe he's capable of it. He literally said months ago that if Warren became Biden's VP, he would be turning her back on everything she stood for and now is advocating for. No. I love you, Megan, but I never said that latter part. I know myself. I know my real opinions, and I never said it, and you won't be able to find it on tape. Because it's just not there. Saying that I won't admit that Warren gave progressives a bird, here, I'll admit it right now. So she should have backed Bernie in 2016. And as soon as she lost in 2020, and arguably even earlier, before Super Tuesday, she should have backed Bernie Sanders. And it was a super painful, I don't want to use the word betrayal, but it was horrible. It was horrible politics. It was horrible policy, et cetera. I know people are not over it, and I very much empathize with that. I'm moving on because I'm practical, not because it didn't hurt. All right. Augies says, this election, I would rather vote for Elizabeth Warren than vote against Trump. She will collect more progressive votes than Biden. So that's interesting and is a point in our direction. Mickey C. says, the DNC would never allow Biden to choose Warren. They know Biden won't last very long, and there's no way they would allow anyone who isn't centrist to right-leaning to step in and take over. Mickey C., that's exactly what I'm worried about. But that's why if Joe Biden does, in fact, pick Elizabeth Warren, that means he very likely ignored what a lot of people in the Democratic establishment, Democratic leadership, the DNC, and most importantly, what the donors said. Then you must give him a lot of credit for that. If you don't give him credit for that, it is totally unfair. The bankers do not want Elizabeth Warren. We already did a story about that. That is fact. And if he chooses her anyway, you should give him credit. Super Pup loves AOC for president, right? Sin Cenk has a point. There's so many of these, but I will just read you one last one. God, thank you guys for participating. Really appreciate it. Grant DeFayette says in YouTube Super Chat, if Biden doesn't VP Warren, I won't vote for him. Got to draw the line somewhere. So obviously everybody's in a slightly different place here. To me, it's relatively easy. You go with the person who is most progressive because we didn't win. I wish we had, and next time we will win. All right. Last thing here, guys. It's so important for us to be healthy and sustainable so we can have conversations like this. You will literally not see a conversation like this anywhere in cable news or mainstream media. So please, we're doing it together, tyt.com/go. For example, today we're trying to get to 140,000 for the month, and let's see where we are right now. It's 139,462. We're so close. If you can help out, that would be amazing at tyt.com/go. And thank you for everybody writing in, including on YouTube Super Chat. Anna, go ahead.
All right. Donald Trump's response to COVID-19 was not only late, everything that he did following COVID-19 has been a complete and utter disaster. And he's blamed everyone for his own failures, including the press, China, you name it. Now he's blaming the intelligence community for allegedly not doing enough to warn him about the severity of COVID-19. So Trump has insisted that the intelligence agencies gave him inadequate warnings about the threat of the virus, describing it as not a big deal. Intelligence officials have publicly backed him, acknowledging that Beth Sanner, the analyst who regularly briefs the president, underplayed the dangers when she first mentioned the virus to him on January 23rd. Now, keep in mind that on January 23rd, there was still a lot of misinformation about the pandemic, and China was still suppressing some of that information from the general public. But since then, we've gotten a lot more news, and it's been clear that Trump has been warned on multiple occasions about the severity of the virus, and he ignored those warnings. So I'll give you a list of all those warnings in just a minute. But first, here's Donald Trump basically throwing his own a member of the intelligence community under the bus, even though she's gone to pretty great lengths to make these intelligence briefings easy to understand for someone like Trump. Let's take a look.
January 23rd, I was told that there could be a virus coming in, but it was of no real import. In other words, it wasn't, oh, we got to do something, we got to do something. It was a brief conversation, and it was only on January 23rd. Shortly thereafter, I closed down the country to China.
So he did not shut down travel shortly thereafter. As we know, he didn't really take any action until March, and he was getting warnings as early as January about the severity of the virus. Trump ignored a host of warnings he received around that time from higher ranking officials. So you have like doctors, scientists, biodefense officials, other national security aides, and the news media warning him about the virus's growing threat. Trump's own health secretary had alerted him 5 days earlier to the potential seriousness of the virus. And let's not forget his own trade advisor, someone who I mostly disagree with on almost everything, Peter Navarro, had warned him about the severity of the virus, and he still refused to act because for Donald Trump, negotiating trade with China was more important than doing what was necessary to stop the spread of the virus to the United States. And by the way, here is one of the headlines that was published by the Washington Post that shows that U.S. intelligence reports from January and February warned about a likely pandemic. And so, Jang, jump in. Like, it's not unsurprising that Trump would blame Beth Sanner for this, but it is pretty pathetic because, again, she wasn't the only person who had sat down and talked to him about this virus.
So I don't know Beth Sanner at all. She's a top official at the CIA. So there's a good chance that our politics probably don't match. But she came in as a second person to give the intelligence briefings to Trump because the first person was just giving him facts. And so the little child couldn't concentrate. So she had to do like a little puppet show in replacing the first guy to get the clown to pay attention. They had to put in more graphs and charts, et cetera. She had to, she realized he cares more about real estate deals than the rest of the world. So she would highlight those. Oh, here's an economic development in, you know, fill in the blank, maybe Indonesia. Maybe he's got a tower in Indonesia. And he's like, oh, wait, I care about that. Okay, good, Donnie, good. Okay. Now, and anything else he could use for political purposes, he would perk up. So she went out of her way to frame it in a way that the little child could understand. And what's the first thing he does? He throws her right under a bus because he's such a bad guy. Now, in terms of the substance of his argument, he says, I shut down travel from China. Well, first of all, that's not exactly true. Of course, we had to let Americans back in. Oops, that's how partly how the virus got in here in the first place. So it was a porous shutting down. But I'm not blaming him for that action. But think about it. If you thought it was so serious, you had to ban travel from China, kind of, then why didn't you do the other things that are necessary? Like ordering masks, ordering gloves, ordering PPE, ordering tests. See, those are far more necessary. And every expert would have told you and did tell you that ordering the masks and the tests were much more important than shutting down some of the travel from China. So, in other words, you did it so you could score political points with your right-wing base and go, ha-ha, I was tough on China. But you didn't actually care about the virus, and you didn't take it seriously, even though you clearly had enough information to take it seriously. That's why you took the action on China that you did.
Exactly. I mean, it's amazing how many people he's willing to throw under the bus just to cover his own terrible mistakes. But we've gone over all the mistakes, all of his foibles in response to COVID-19, his refusal to invoke the Defense Production Act. That's another example. It's his fault. He's the leader. Okay. When these types of mistakes are made, you don't look for people who work under him to blame. You blame the leader. And the leader of this country has shown a complete and utter lack of leadership when it comes to this pandemic and a host of other issues. All right. Well, let's cover TYT Investigates because they broke a fascinating story about Elon Musk. So Elon Musk has been threatening to move his companies out of California because it turns out the state actually cares about its citizens and wants to be careful in the way it reopens the state. And so Elon Musk was angry about that, and he threatened to open his Tesla plant in defiance of the stay-at-home orders. And now TYT Investigates has learned that Elon Musk and Tesla specifically have violated a number of environmental regulations. And that could factor into the reason why he's so angry with the state. Documents detail 42 violations as recently as February and as far back as 2017. Officials told the Young Turks this week that the violations are still pending. Despite Musk's public claim that he was ready to move the factory immediately, the documents show Tesla was simultaneously planning new construction and expansion of its California facilities. I want to also just quickly note that Tesla did open in defiance of the rules, the guidelines in California, and state lawmakers just let them slide. There really weren't any consequences for it. So that's probably one of the other reasons why he's going to stay in California, because billionaires don't have to abide by the same laws everyone else has to abide by. In the first quarter of 2020, according to a May 6th meeting agenda of the Bay Area Air Quality Management Division, Tesla received 13 notices of violations, more than any entity in 11 counties. And by the way, he has not been very friendly to his workers in the past. He just does not like some of the labor laws we have in the state. But all of that should have been mitigated by the fact that taxpayers in California have certainly subsidized his businesses to the tune of billions of dollars. So, Cenk, what do you think?
Yeah. So there's two interesting parts of this story. One is, oh, I'm about to move to Texas. Meanwhile, we find out he's got plans to expand in California. So it's a lot of bluffing, and it works, because the minute you have a rich person or a billionaire call the governor or anyone else, even if they're a Democratic governor, they're like, oh, okay, what do you need? You have tax cuts. Oh, you're violating environmental regulations. No problem. So what I love about what Jonathan Larson does in his reporting, and he's our managing editor at TYT Investigates, is that he'll go to public records of them bragging to their shareholders. That's what he often does in stories. So on the to the public, they'll be like, oh my God, oh, we're going to do this and this, and we're going to do it for the workers. And then they'll go to the shareholders and go, just kidding, don't care about the workers at all. We're actually going to do stock buybacks so we all get richer. So check out tyt.com/investigates. We'll have the link to this particular article in the description box below. It does a great job of doing that. Second thing is, let's not forget that Tesla does electric cars, which is great for the environment. But man, Elon Musk is a fascinating character. The same guy who's doing such wonders for the environment in a sense in that, then does those 42 violations that Jonathan uncovered. So it's, I don't think it's a black and white issue, But should California or any other state be lax with these billionaires? No. Enforce the law and the regulations equally and fairly to everyone.
Exactly. All right. Well, we have lots of great stories in the post game. Become a member. Go to tyt.com/join. Trump says that he's going to stop using hydroxychloroquine. Why? We'll give you those details and more. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.